Now, more of Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak to Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, or 1-800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. Still to come on the program, we'll ask the question, what is an appropriate amount to tip, and what do you do if the service is bad? Also, we'll talk to Justin Jorgensen, who's a designer. He actually critiques the furnishings in porn. Yeah, everyone's looking at what's going on. He's looking at the wall. And Peter Franklin, the Gabby Cabby, will share a slice of the Big Apple with us from his Yellow Mobile Conveyance Lounge a little later on here on CJD. But right now, joining us on the line all the way from Hollywood, we have with us Ricky Mabee. Hi, Ricky.
Hey, how's it going, Peter?
Fine and you, sir?
It's going very, very well.
Yes, you are one of the stars of a new television series soon to debut on the WB called Commando Nanny.
Yes, it is, I guess, unfortunately titled Commando Nanny.
How does someone come from the little town, as your bio claims, of Pointe Claire, the island of Montreal, Quebec, end up on Commando Nanny?
Well, it's a roller coaster of a ride, I guess. it started in fifth grade at St. John Fisher Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
And, I sucked at hockey, right? So,
that's not Canadian, isn't it, Rick?
I know, exactly. Yeah. So what do you do if you suck at hockey in Canada? You become an actor, I guess. You know?
Right.
So I did a play for school in the fifth grade, and it was... I fell in love. I fell in love with acting, and it's definitely what I wanted to do the rest of my life. So I packed my bags and said, goodbye, family. I am moving into the basement. And I moved into the basement and read books on acting and went to an acting class in Pointe Claire called Kids in Action. And I did that. And the agent that ran the acting class at the end of the year said, hey, do you want to be in our agency? And I said, sure. Not knowing what the hell I was getting myself into. And then I got a role in a Zeller's commercial.
Right.
And the commercial was, I lifted up a toilet seat and saw a sign that said Zeller's Days. So from there, I knew Commando Nanny was my next job.
Now, why did you have to move into the basement? You couldn't read those books upstairs, or were the parents annoying you? What's the deal there?
No, I was sharing a bedroom with my brother, and, I think he got sick of me running around the room acting out commercials and stuff like that. So I think it was a choice for the health of the family to send me into the basement.
Generally speaking, what did the family think of the idea of, you know, their little son going out and being an actor, which is a very difficult thing to accomplish and break into?
Well, I think they were just happy for me to annoy somebody else instead of them.
Ah,
so,
okay.
No, they were great with it. Like, every job I got, my mom came with me to the set all the time up until I was 16, and it was just great, you know, to have both my parents support it so much, and, you know, my brothers and sister get a kick out of it as well, so.
And the good thing about acting as opposed to hockey is that you get to keep all your teeth.
Yeah, well, depending. On my first film, I got a baseball in the eye, and my eye swelled shut, so anything could happen.
What film was that?
It was called Frankenstein and Me with Burt Reynolds and Louise Fletcher.
Okay, I want to bring that film up.
Right.
Because, again, going to your bio...
Yeah.
Okay? Going to your bio, it mentions that when you got the part for Frankenstein and Me...
Yeah.
You had no idea who Burt Reynolds was.
I had absolutely no idea.
And I'm thinking, how long were you in that basement?
Well, let's just say it was in the mid-80s where Burt Reynolds didn't really do anything. I mean, Smokey and the Bandit was long past, and
okay.
I had no idea, you know, if somebody told me, like, you know, I would be working with Pee Wee Herman or something, then I would know.
Mm-hmm.
But Burt Reynolds, at the time, I had no idea who he is, but my mom sure did.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, my, he's hunk. He's a hunk and a half. But then we met him, and I don't know if her opinion changed of him, but I don't think it did.
No, no one wants to hear their own mother talking that way, by the way.
I know, especially my dad.
Now, how did you get your first role outside of Canada? How did you get the Burt Reynolds role, for instance?
Well, that was actually, it was by a Montreal production company, the people that did Les Boys.
All right, okay.
Actually produced this movie, so I actually auditioned for it in Montreal, and it was all done in, well, we filmed it in the Mojave Desert in California, but then we filmed also in Montreal for a week.
How did you get along with Burt?
He was amazing. He was absolutely amazing, and I was so glad, like, he took us to, myself and the guy that played my brother, he took us to his house in the Hollywood Hills. He brought us to Universal Studios, showed us all around Los Angeles, and gave us T-shirts and videos signed of movies and stuff. He was just absolutely the nicest guy.
Did he have any clue that you had no idea who he was, Ricky?
I think so. I think when he handed me the movie of Cannonball Run, I was like, wow, there's a sequel to a movie I've never heard of? So, I don't know.
Now, let's flash forward to what you're doing now. The television series is called Commando Nanny. It was initially supposed to go on the air later this week, but it was held back, I guess, because Gerald McRaney is involved and he's a little under the weather?
Yeah. Well, we've been plagued with a couple of problems on this show so far.
That's not a good sign, is it?
No, but yeah. I'm just, you know, happy enough that it still exists, so... we filmed the pilot back in March, I guess it was, and that went super well, and people loved it, and it got picked up for 13 episodes. And as soon as we got back to film the rest of the 13, the next 13 episodes, the main actor playing Commando Nanny, who I was living with at the time, broke his foot while jumping over a fence. So he wasn't able to walk for 6 to 8 weeks. So we had to get postponed for that, and then they actually decided to recast him, which was unfortunate. And then, so they hired a new guy from England to play his part, and then that guy had a little bit of trouble getting a work visa, so we were postponed again another week. And then as soon as they told him to fly out, they said, whoa, wait, because we found out Gerald McRaney actually was diagnosed with lung cancer. And they found the tumor. It was very small. It was in the early stages, and they removed it, I guess, 2 weeks ago now. Mm-hmm. And he's just in Texas recovering now.
So what is the status as far as pushing back the premiere of the show, and what is the working schedule now?
Well, we were supposed to air this Friday night at 8:30, but so far they did not want to push us to mid-season, which would have meant that we would have started in January,
mm-hmm.
So they still want to keep us for October now. So hopefully we'll air next month, by the middle of the month, on Friday nights, I believe.
Okay. We are talking with Ricky Mabey here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. He's one of the stars of the television series Commando Nanny, which will soon debut on the WB. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800.
Now, more of Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. To speak to Peter, call 790-0991, Star Talk, or 1-800-491-CJAD.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. We are talking with actor Ricky Mabey, who is one of the stars of a new television show soon to debut on the WB. That show is Commando Nanny. Do you know, Ricky, if that show will also be shown on one of the Canadian networks?
Yeah, well, I ran into a guy from CTV, and apparently CTV picked it up as well, so... Hopefully it will be on CTV, and I heard the Comedy Network as well.
Oh, great.
Hopefully we'll be funny enough.
Now, I think back, Ricky, to when I was 16 years old.
Right.
I was working as a theater usher and just so giddy and happy to watch movies and work for minimum wage.
Ah, yes.
At 16, you bought an island.
Touché.
Explain that, please.
I was 16, and my mom, I think, was reading the Gazette and saw an ad for an island for sale in Lancaster, Ontario.
Right.
And you know, I don't, you know, I wasn't going to spend all the money I'd made on acting on, like, hockey cards or something like that. Or so I said, why not buy an island or a cottage or something? And I went to actually go and see it with my my mother. My father was actually out of town, and my uncle and my best friend. And we went to see it, and as soon as I saw it, I said, this is the place. And, yeah, so I bought an island at 16.
How big is this island?
It's about an acre in size, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how does one get to it?
You could either swim right. or take a boat or walk across in the winter. But, yeah, it's right in Lancaster, and it's 40 minutes from my house in Pointe Claire.
How far offshore are we talking?
Oh, just maybe a couple hundred yards. It's not too far. It's about a 5 to 10 minute boat ride.
I won't ask you how much you paid for the island because it's none of our business, but have you renamed the island?
Well, it's really a battle between myself and my parents, I guess. they actually are spending a lot more time there than I am, so I think I'm going to give them the opportunity to name it, because, you know, really I was just going to name it Maybe Island, or, you know, because of my name, Richard Maybe, maybe Dick Maybe Island, but I thought that would be so kosher with the Coast Guard, right?
Okay, exactly. So, you know you're in Marlon Brando territory. Yeah, I mean, he owns an island,
yeah, but
too.
I think most people would rather visit his island than my own.
You say it's an acre in total? Is what exactly is on it, if anything?
Lots of empty beer bottles.
Okay.
There's a main cottage and a little guest cottage that needs to be fixed up, and my dad's workshop and a couple of boathouses.
Okay, so there is a dwelling.
Yes. Well, yeah, completely winterized, and it's a really cool place to hang out and spend the summer.
Okay. Also, I understand that in the last year or so, you started doing stand-up.
Yes, in Montreal, because it's the best city to do it in.
Absolutely, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we met at the Just for Laughs Festival this summer.
Yes, we did. I went to every show I could at the Just for Laughs Festival. I saw everybody and anybody, which sometimes was a mistake, sometimes a great thing.
As far as the performing arts is concerned, I mean, you're doing stand-up, you're doing a sitcom, you've done plays. What types of things do you prefer to do? If you're given the choice of doing anything you want to do in the industry, what is it you'd like the most to do?
I think if I could do anything in the industry, it would definitely be porn set designer.
Then you'd have to deal with Justin Jorgensen, who is a porn finishing critic.
Ah, perfect.
Yeah.
I think my handiwork would be great.
I'll hook you up with Justin later.
Right. No, actually, definitely would. I thought when I tried stand-up for the first time, I was like, this is better than any kind of movie, any kind of TV series that I've ever done. This is definitely the most fun I've ever had performing in front of actual people. And then I came out and did the pilot for the sitcom, and I said, wow, I didn't know I could ever get this nervous and have this much fun. And if I could do sitcom the rest of my life, I would, because you get to perform in front of a live studio audience, so it's kind of like combining stand-up with movies, and it's kind of like this weird hybrid of a sister to all of them. So,
under normal circumstances, because right now, as you say, nothing has been normal with some of the delays you've had in putting the show together, under normal circumstances, what is your working schedule like on this show?
It would be 5 days a week. You'd start off, we film actually on Tuesday nights, so that means Wednesday is our first real day of the week, and we read through the script with the whole cast and the producers Wednesday at, like, it's only about 2 hour work day. And then Thursday, Friday, we rehearse all day. And then Monday we rehearse. And then Tuesday we rehearse all day in front of all the network executives and stuff. And they cut or keep whatever they like.
Mm-hmm.
And then we perform it at 6 o'clock p.m. in front of 100 or so people.
Now, what was it like when you first got the gig and you met your cast members? The Gerald McRaney plays your dad, correct?
Yeah.
So what was that like meeting Gerald McRaney?
I actually knew who he was.
Okay, good.
From Major Dad.
Major yeah. Dad.
Yeah, whereas my mom was like, he's Simon.
Exactly.
Yeah. The difference is there again, but no, he's absolutely the nicest Republican you'll ever meet.
Okay.
He's a great, great man. He's, like, unbelievably professional and just giving, and it was great. Right before we filmed the pilot, because he was the only one who had done a pilot before, everyone else was our first time, and we were all just trembling with nerves. And he just turned to us right before going on set. He just turned to us and goes, "Don't worry, guys, I'm nervous too." And that just, like, put us all at ease, and we're like, "Phew, at least he's still nervous as well." So he's terrific. And Mark Burnett, who's producing the show, is actually, like, an amazing guy.
So we should mention Mark Burnett, who is the producer of such shows as Survivor and The Apprentice. This is the first show he's doing that is a scripted program. And it's almost, if I'm not mistaken, biographical for him.
It is based on his life, yeah. He was a commando nanny. He actually fought in the Falklands War. And
boy, what a week that was, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he came to Los Angeles, and the first job he got was as a nanny to a Bel Air couple, and he was a nanny for 3 years, I think it was.
Hmm. Which reminds me, since he's in the Falklands War, maybe you can sit down and have a long chat with Mark discussing, you know, islands and sovereignty and all that stuff.
Yeah. Perfect. I'm not giving mine up to the Argentinians.
Exactly. So we didn't actually talk about how you got this particular role.
Right.
How did that come about?
Well, I came down for a thing they call pilot season, where they, from January to April, they audition for all the new shows that will be airing in the fall. And I came down. It was my third year coming down to try and get a pilot. And the first 2 years, I got absolutely nothing. And then this year, I got down. I drove down from Montreal. I set up shop at a really weird hotel. And the hotel was filled with all other Canadians. I was on the Montreal floor with other Montrealers, and there was people from Toronto, Vancouver, and I had one audition in 3 months, and it was for a film, and I didn't get it. And then I just called my manager and said, "Listen, all I want is one more audition," and he said, "Okay, go in for this," and it was Commando Nanny, and luckily I got it. Very luckily.
Now you went, so you say, 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Did you audition for things in the past that you didn't get that you eventually saw on the air?
Oh, yeah. I screen tested for Smallville,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't get it, obviously.
Right.
And then The OC as well. Auditioned for that and the tons of other shows that either didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or went somewhere big.
So before you got Commando Nanny, were you just like sitting in front of your television with bricks ready to throw them at the TV, or when you saw these television shows that, you know, you should have been on?
No, because my mom doesn't let me play with bricks, so I was going to just throw soft pillows at the TV.
Okay.
But full of anger.
But Ricky, you're 21 now. Surely she's let you out of the basement.
Yeah. She definitely has. I am living on my own now.
Okay.
But no, I was just like, if it didn't work this year, I was going to go back to Montreal and just try and do stand-up as long as I could. But luckily, you know, I was fortunate enough to get something down here, and I'm going to ride it as long as I can.
Assuming things work out well and you have a long run on the television show, you say you still enjoy stand-up. Would you do stand-up on any of your hiatuses while you're in L.A.?
Definitely, definitely. I'm actually trying in the midst right now to set up some shows out here, so hopefully that'll be great. But it's a lot bigger industry of stand-ups out here.
Now, generally speaking, Canadians have been doing rather well.
Unbelievably well.
You said you were on a floor when you were auditioning with a whole bunch of other Canadians. Do you hang out with other Canadians?
All the time. It's really weird. It's like, in L.A., I met maybe three Americans, and I just everyone else is Canadian. It's unbelievable.
So I'm guessing you're going to the I don't know what your schedule is like. Are you going to the big Emmy party at the Canadian Consulate General?
I wasn't invited.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Peter.
I'm sorry. It's this weekend.
Right. No. Well, I was actually going to plan this weekend to sit by the pool and wait for the phone call, say you're invited to the Canadian consulate.
By the way, Ricky?
Yeah?
I have to work, but I was invited.
Damn it. You're Anthony Holder.
Yeah. See, at least you've seen Hogan's Heroes.
Hogan's who?
Okay, never mind.
Yes.
Never mind. You also did a lot of voice work. You did stuff like the Little Lulu show.
Yeah.
What was that experience like? And Arthur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Montreal is the greatest city for voice work.
Oh, Arthur, which means you must have gotten a residual check this week.
Yeah, $14.98.
Woohoo! Mine was nine.
that's nine more minutes for me to spend in L.A.
Exactly. So what was that experience for you doing? You did, Little Lulu? You did Eddie and Little Lulu?
Yeah, that was great. It was actually one of my first jobs, and it was just like the easiest thing. You'd go in for 15 minutes and talk in front of a microphone and get to do silly and weird voices, and then they pay you for it.
Mm.
It really seems like an unjust business, entire business.
What's the type of thing you feel most comfortable with? The stand-up? The sitcom? What?
Definitely sitcom and comedy. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a lot more fun to do than, doing dramatic stuff just because I'd rather try and make people laugh than cry.
Well,
if you turn on the TV, there's a lot of things you could cry about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you'll have the opportunity to make people laugh when Commando Nanny hits the air. It's going to be on the WB, and as you mentioned, on CTV, and also perhaps the Comedy Channel.
Yeah.
And it'll be on WB. What is the tentative debut date now?
I think the middle Friday of October. I'm not sure of the exact date, but you never know in this business. So
basically, from a television point of view, after the World Series.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Ricky, I thank you very much for being on the program
with us.
I'm sorry you won't be able to make that party on Saturday, but if it's any consolation, neither will I. And,
My girlfriend's coming into town, so it's all right.
Well, there you go. And you could always sit back and say, well, maybe he got invited to a party, but at least I have an island. Look at it that way.
Perfect.
I thank you for being on the program, sir.
Thank you, Peter.
Ricky Mabey, actor, a star, one of the stars of Commando Nanny, which is going on the air on the WB sometime in October. News is next here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800.